Hello, everybody. It's me, Roscoe, and welcome to another edition of the Kings of Anglia Fan Social, the show where the Koi Army share their thoughts on all things town. It's not been a good start. We've already lost one of my guests. But hopefully Jake will be with us shortly. But yeah, four cup finals to go, ladies and gentlemen. We're live on all platforms once again, on the Facebooks, on the YouTubes, on the Twitter. Thanks again for all of you joining us. I'm sure you're all going to join us throughout this hour or so chat. And I'm joined by two debutants. Jake will join us in a second. But let's bring in Callum first of all. The man who is a budding journalist himself. How are you doing, my friend?
Yeah, I'm doing well, thank you. Pleasure to be on. Long overdue, I feel. Yep. Pleased to be on. Hope you're all well, Ross.
I'm very well, my friend. Thank you very much for asking. No one asked me that. So thanks for asking. We're going to quickly go back to you, Callum, a second. But let's bring Jake in, who disappeared during my intro. He's went, I've had enough of Ross already. But how are you doing, my friend? He's frozen already. Okay, we'll go back to you, Callum, then. Let's talk about your Ipswich Town fandom, just to do a little introduction to yourself. Obviously, you're on here because you're a Town fan, but how did you start becoming a Town fan? And Jake's back, but we'll go to Jake in a second.
Well, I've been a Town fan pretty much all my life, since I moved to the area when I was fairly young, 6 or 7. I'm 21 now, so probably 14, 15 years. Finally seeing some decent football after all that time, which is nice. And I'm sure there's many other people in the same boat. That's kind of where it all started. 2010 was my first game, January. That famous Pablo Cunhago winner against Coventry was my first game. So it wasn't a bad one to go to. You can imagine from the way that game went, I've been hooked ever since.
Yeah, and sadly, you've had a lot of rubbish, as you mentioned. At least this last past year or so, it's been some good stuff, so that's good to hear. Let's bring Jake in. You're here, my friend. Great post behind you, by the way, Jules. How's things? And welcome to the show.
Yeah, good. Long time no speak, and hopefully my internet calms down, so I'll stay in here for more than 30 seconds.
I like it, my friend. And if you don't know, ladies and gentlemen, keep on the curtain sort of thing here. Me and Jake have gone back a long time in terms of doing Ipswich Town content. If you watched us and listened to us back in the day, Ipswich Town Talk, we did a podcast on IO Radio. Jake was one of the pundits, you can sort of say. Before Gary Neville and Sir Co, Jake was there bringing some great stuff. Those are the days, mate. Obviously, you know, some bad games, but some memorable moments as well. That was Mick McCarthy days as well.
Yeah, definitely. I'd say I was more like a Paul Merson, just like struggling to pronounce people's names and giving strange analogies and things like that. But I definitely missed doing that. It was a great podcast. And fortunately, we've got like better things to talk about now than we did on that.
Yeah, there was some bad times. And we actually, of course, we played two charity matches as well. The Ipswich Town Talk team taking on the Ipswich Town Women's team. Which, of course, was a fundraiser, obviously, for Suffolk Mine, a good charity event. One was at Needham Market and one was at Felixstowe, which was two great events. And I think you scored in one of those games, I think, didn't you, Jake?
First one, which we somehow lost 8-7 or something like that. Yeah, I want to say I scored 2 or 3.
Yeah.
My friends will batter me, but I quite often, when drunk, pull up the highlights on YouTube and just... this is how good I was, and now I'm 6 years older, 6 stone fatter, and can't move like that anymore.
Yeah, they were great. Yeah, you can actually find those highlights actually on YouTube. I think if you just put Ipswich Town Talk versus Ipswich Town Women's Team, you can find it. But if I can quickly find it, we'll share it in the chat, and you can watch us play. An absolute thriller down at Needham Market. But it was a great time, and Ipswich Town Talk still lives on with us. But of course, we're here with the Kings of Anglia Fan Social, and we've got a lot to talk about, boys. As I said in the intro, 4 cup finals to go, and before we get started in terms of the last two results, which weren't great, but Kieran McKenna has won Manager of the Month for March. Obviously, it was a month where we did lose one game. We lost, of course, against Cardiff, 2 late goals. Still trying to get over that, ladies and gentlemen. But of course, we score six against Sheffield Wednesday, 2-0 win away at Plymouth, which is a hard place to go. Of course, a late winner against Bristol City to get a win. And of course, a very tough game in Lancashire when we beat Blackburn 1-0. But Callum, yeah, Kieran McKenna, winning manager of the month. I don't know how many times he's won it now. I think he's won it a few times over his tenure. I think, of course, he won a few times in League One, but well-deserved.
Yeah, you'd like to think so. Not sure how many times he won it in League One. Certainly his second this season, won it in September in the Championship. But yeah, you'd like to think, excuse me, that it was fairly deserved. Four wins from five, included a 6-0 in there, which is going to boost your credit quite a lot. And some memorable moments from those games as well, including the Cardiff game, which is memorable for the wrong reasons, but that was the only slip up there. Four big wins that's got us to where we are at the moment.
Obviously, we were top of the league as well in some of those games. So I think this world itself just looks, yeah, twice is now, of course, Championship Manager Month. And it was twice in League One, March 2023 and April 2023, obviously, because of the amazing run we went on last season. One thing I like, Jake, obviously, was that the pitcher he done with all the staff. It wasn't just like the coaching staff. It was everyone who works at the training ground, which there's a lot of people, and it proves how much goes on behind the scenes and how much, you know, how many staff there is to help out with catering. I think even just cleaning, just all together.
Yeah, you see quite a few of those now, don't you? I think you get like to, especially like the start of the season, you don't see so many, but as you go through the season.
And Jake's gone again. That's not good. He was saying some good stuff there, Callum. But yeah, we'll get Jake hopefully back in a second, ladies and gentlemen. It's just it's live TV. Anything can happen. But yeah, Callum, I think that's great to see, though. I know as Jake was saying there, you know, it happens a lot now with a lot of clubs. They want to make sure they sort of give praise to everyone who, you know, is part of this journey. And you know, it's just good to see.
Yeah, it does happen a lot. And I'm not sure whether at other clubs it might be somewhat of a token gesture, that sort of thing, but certainly isn't the case here. You know, I mean, spoke in the press conference today about how individual awards like Manager of the Month don't happen without the whole team around him. You know, that the players, the work that goes on at the training ground, it is one big group, one big collective. That culminates in one man winning the award, and it's good to see everyone get the recognition for that. But of course, Kieran himself has to take a lot of credit for that. But you know, he's a very humble man, and he likes to share the praise.
Indeed, Jake, come back in, my friend. Continue what you were saying.
I think in the manager of the month, September, I think the picture is of him and his entire coaching staff. So it's kind of only right that the next step is that he involves everyone who works on kind of, I guess it's kind of the performance side when you chuck in catering and stuff like that. I noticed some of our media friends aren't in it. So it's, I guess it's everyone who, you know, does that performance side of the job at Playford Road. Makes you think Playford Road is going to sink, the amount of people that must work up there.
There's so many. Yeah, I'll be worried about making sure everyone's in it. You know, as a photographer, that's my worst nightmare. When you've got too many faces, too many bodies, you're like, oh, I want to make sure no one's eyes are closed. I want to make sure no one's like, yeah, you want the tall people at the back. Yeah, that's just been my worst nightmare. I think I'm happy with like three or four, but that was at least like 20 plus people. That's what I felt like anyway. Maybe even more than that. I have to count them all. But no, big congratulations to Kieran McKenna for the Manager of the Month award for March. Will he get it April? We shall wait and see. Probably not, because we've, you know, had a good start. That segues nicely into the last two result, boys. Haven't scored, haven't won. Obviously won the defeat. Won't mention who we lost to, because we all know. Then also, Jake is on the move.
I'm moving just to see if I can get better internet.
I like this. A little tour round of Jake's place here. Love this.
I'm not sure how safe my room is actually for broadcast.
I'm sure it's fine. But that's good. You're on the move. But yeah, Callum, as Jake sets up in his new location, yeah, thoughts on the last two results and what I've done this as the three words or less feature. How would you sort of, yeah, share your thoughts on the last two results? No goals for Town either.
No, like you say, no goals across two games is a strange feeling. We seem to score for fun so far this season. So no goals in two games does feel a bit strange. But the words I've gone for is it's a missed opportunity, in the sense that across both of those games, last weekend and midweek, some other results towards the top end of the league have gone our way, which goes to show that perhaps the getting 1 point from the last two games isn't a disaster because it's still in our hands, remarkably. But at the same time, it is a missed opportunity because, especially with on Wednesday night, with Leeds and Leicester both playing beforehand, we knew that if we'd won, we'd have gone top and we'd have gone three points clear of Leeds. But it wasn't to be. But I didn't think the performance on Wednesday night, especially in the first half, I don't think was bad. I thought Watford came with a game plan and I thought they defended well, to their credit. And I think they came for a point and they got what they came for, to be honest. So it was a frustrating one, but you know, there's not a lot of time to look back on it because we've got another big one tomorrow.
Yeah, quick turnaround. These games come thick and fast, although now we've got a two-week break. So after Borough, it's 2 weeks off. And yeah, we've then got, of course, three big games to go. But yeah, Jake, what's your overall thoughts on the last two results? Obviously, one hurts a bit more than the other. But yeah, Portland Road, we're not seeing many games that have not scored. Oh, he's gone again. Callum, Orcas can continue to be with you. Yeah, I'm going to bring up Charlie here. Obviously, we created so many chances, didn't we? We just didn't finish them. Jake is back, though, so I'm actually going to go back to Jake. Come in, my friend. Yeah, what's your sort of three words or less to, yeah, share your thoughts on the last two games?
I guess flat and underwhelming would be my three words. You know, the Norwich game is what it is. Everyone discussed that there. I think the Watford one, I sort of said to my friends, I think that's a good point on the face of it. A game in which we've played okay, but not amazing against a side that have got the capability to beat us. And we've not lost and we've not really conceded any chances, kind of a fluke from the halfway line. I think you look back on that at the end of the season, hopefully, and we'll call that a good point. But yeah, we move on now to the four cup finals.
Yeah, four cup finals indeed. Is there anything else you want to talk about from the Watford game? Because this obviously, we're not at a flagship show. Anything you want to sort of bring up from that game? Of course, there was four changes. Obviously, the team, boys, I'm going to bring a Mick McCarthy phrase here. They were goosed, weren't they? Very much goosed, Callum. Yeah, obviously, Portland Road is always, you know, it's rocket. It's been packed stadiums, you know, packed Portland Road all season. But obviously, the players just looked absolutely knackered.
Yeah, that's what I was going to mention, that about how tired some of the players look, particularly, I think Kiefer Moore particularly has looked really tired since the international break when he played 120 minutes for Wales just before the Blackburn game. And he hasn't really had a rest. He's played in all five, hasn't he? Despite coming through that back strain that we thought was going to keep him out of the derby, but he ended up playing, whether or not that proved to be a good thing in hindsight, who knows? But yeah, so I think the break after tomorrow, I think will come at a good time for Kiefer in particular, because I think his tiredness has been pretty clear, and I think the fact that we haven't scored in the last two games probably goes some way to suggesting that.
And Jake, to be fair, I think we could have been up 2-0, maybe 3-0 up in the first half against Watford if we, you know, took those chances. Of course, Brodie hit the post, obviously Kiefer Moore with his header, which Kiefer made a good save, but yeah, we just weren't clinical enough.
Yeah, and I think it is one of those things when you go back and weigh up the luck over the course of the season. I think, you know, we definitely have had elements of that throughout the season, and I know you earn your luck, but Watford's one of those games where we just didn't get the luck. And like on another day, that Broadhead goal bounces in off the post, or he's not in the way of Jack Taylor. The save from the Kiefer Moore header is a great save. And I think it's just one of those games where you have to say, I don't think the second half was great.
No, it wasn't great, Jake. It wasn't great. And he's gone again. it doesn't matter.
He'll be back.
Don't worry, Leitchman. This is the fun and games we have on the Fan Social live on Friday. I want to give a shout out to Bono. Evening, gents. Hope everyone has had a good week. I've had a good week. Been a productive week. Obviously, you know, been busy, but always good, which is good to see. But yeah, Callum, we're gonna segue on to the four cup finals shortly. But any other business from the Watford game? Obviously, as you mentioned, a missed opportunity because, yeah, we could have gone top of the table and a few points ahead of Leeds and Leicester because they dropped points.
Yeah, I think we've covered everything, to be honest, from the Watford game. But I do, like Jake said, I think if one of those chances in the first half goes in, Broadhead doesn't hit the post or keeper doesn't make a great save from Moore's header, and we get a goal in the first half, could be a completely different game, and we could be sat here tonight talking while we're top of the league, but it's not to be. But we're still four games to go, and if we win all four, which is a stretch, but if we win all four, then we'll be in the Premier League. So it's certainly not a bad position to be in early mid April.
Yeah, very true, and we shall see. I think Jake is back. Let's bring him back in. No, he's not. Got black screen of death. Or is he here? Is he here? I think he is here. There we go. Okay. Let's see if it works. Let's see how it goes. Well, we'll keep you, Jake, as we've got you still. And let's bring into then the four cup finals to go, ladies and gentlemen, because, they don't get any easier. You know, obviously, Borough this weekend, then Hull City, Coventry City away. And then obviously we finish the season at home against Huddersfield Town, who are obviously fighting down there in the relegation zone. But how are you feeling about it, Jake? It's hard to predict, isn't it? But I'm going to get you to predict it. How do you think how is it all going to pan out?
Well, I think first of all, I'm looking forward to playing teams that want to win the game. I think that's something that as a Town fan, we've probably learned to deal with over the last 18 months is constantly playing games against inferior opposition that are happy with a point. So that's the first thing, is I'm looking forward to playing four teams that want to win as well. So I think a lot hinges on tomorrow without putting too much pressure on it. I think 3 points tomorrow and people will really start to believe. And then we know going into those last three, what we need to get over the line. If tomorrow doesn't go.
And he's gone again. So, Callum, come in, my friend. Four big games to go. And as Jake was saying there, because sometimes when you play this part of the season, you've got teams, you know, on the beach, nothing to play for. And actually, sometimes that's good because you can easily thrash them. But there's some teams that, you know, can go on and, you know, they can actually spoil the party. But how are you feeling for these four big games to go?
Yeah, well, the final three going into the final week are obviously a couple of weeks away, and there's a lot of games to be played by the other two between now and then. But in terms of tomorrow, I think tomorrow will suit us far more than Wednesday night will. Just because Watford, under the new manager, have been looking difficult to beat. I mean, they still haven't lost under Cleverley. They've been looking far more difficult to beat. Sort of defending in a good structure, that sort of thing. Whereas Middlesbrough, while they're highly unlikely to sneak into the playoffs, there's still that slim chance, and they've got to win all four to do that and hope other results go their way. So they can't afford to come to Portman Road tomorrow and play in a similar way to how Watford did on Wednesday, I don't think. And I think those games suit us better when teams want to come at us and engage in a football match. And I think if they do that, I'm pretty confident that we'll be able to that we'll be able to get some goals in us and hopefully get a better result.
Yeah, obviously, I think the Watford game, even though they haven't got really much to play for Watford, but I think they've also got an interim head coach. Obviously, there's probably some players who are, you know, probably wanting to earn a new contract, maybe.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that was always, it's still going to be a tough game. And obviously, they had a good run as well going into this one. I think he's still unbeaten, Tom Cleverley, as manager. So, yeah, it's always hard to predict these games coming in. We've got Jake back in. I've told him the door on his phone. And do you know what? You look more handsome now, Jake, with your phone. So I'm not saying you weren't before, but we can now really see you. So maybe this is the answer this whole time. So we shall see how we get on. But let's segue though, boys. I want to ask you the big question. And I actually haven't put it on the thing, but are we getting promoted? I'm doing it now, boys. Jake, what do you reckon? Four games to go. Drink. Well, if we win all four, we're up.
Yeah, I'm going to go for a second place promotion.
Again, back to back.
Yeah, I think we'll win tomorrow. Draw with, I can't remember the order. I think we'll win tomorrow, beat Hull, draw with Coventry, beat Huddersfield.
Okay, then you've got to hope. You think then Leeds will just drop off?
Yeah, I think the South, we're all going to have to be Southampton fans at some point.
Yeah, it's gonna be dearie me. It's great though, it's fun, isn't it? Because you think like a couple of years ago we were playing dead rubbers. That was my favourite phrase. I think when Kieran McKenna, you know, when he first came in, it was like, yeah, we're dead rubbers, and that was just my phrase I was using at the time. Oh, Dennis are dead rubbers, but now four big games, Callum. Same question to you. Do you think Town going to do it? What's your predictions over those four games?
It's so difficult to call, isn't it? With so few games left and such close points tallies. But I'll go with my heart and say yes. Like Jake, I think I can see us getting 10 points. I can see us winning tomorrow. I can see us winning on the final day. And I can see the Hull and Coventry games. I can see us winning one of them and maybe drawing the other. Which way round, I'm not sure. But I think 10 points will get us over the line, because Leeds would have to win all four for that not to be the case. And I can see Leeds getting nine or 10. But if we get 10, that would be enough. So yeah, we'll go with that. We'll say yes.
Okay, I like that. Well, my one concern, though, boys, is goal difference. I've been saying that for the last few weeks because, you know, we've improved, you know, obviously thanks to that 6-0 win, but we've currently got goal difference of 32 and Leeds have got 43, Leicester have got 42. Jake, do you think that could, you know, be a factor going into that maybe final game of the season?
Yeah, it's definitely not great when things are so tight, because it effectively becomes an extra point, doesn't it, for the other teams? I don't think it's the kind of deficit we're going to be able to make up in the meantime, especially with the fixtures we've got. So we just have to hope and pray that it doesn't come down to that deciding the promotion.
Yeah, hopefully we can.
I guess, interestingly, I don't know if any of you follow Kieran Maguire, who does the Price of Football podcast. The EFL have released a statement today around Leicester and their financial performance, and it looks as if the EFL tried to put a points deduction on them and were basically told that that was unlawful. And Leicester are now threatening the EFL with legal action. So I don't think we're going to get anything. Any of the democracy is going to help us get promoted at this point either.
No, definitely not. But yeah, such interesting. It's always interesting, that sort of stuff. But yeah, we shall see what happens, boys. As we said, four cup finals. That one more time, Ross. That one more time. I want to quickly talk about a certain player, maybe certain players that could return for these final few games. Obviously, George Hurst, Wes Burns. Obviously, George Hurst has been a missing player, isn't he? It's been a big miss since he got injured in that Leicester game on Boxing Day, which is mad to think, you know, that's how long he's been out for. And yeah, how big of a miss, you know, has he been, Callum? Because obviously, yeah, we brought Keith Moore in and obviously had a great sort of start. But obviously, you know, he wasn't playing many games for Bournemouth. So I think maybe these last few weeks have maybe caught up to him a little bit.
Yeah, I think he's been a big miss. I'm a huge fan of George Hurst. I think the way that we play, or at least try and play, or did while he was in the side, while he was fit, we play a sort of around him so well, and he brings so much more to the team than just his goals. I think he got 6 goals and 6 assists, I think it was, before he got injured. But I just think he brings so much to the team. And when he did get injured, obviously we then had about a month before Kiefer came in. During that time, I mean, the immediate time after Christmas, we drew at home to QPR and drew at Stoke 0-0. Yeah. I think if George Hurst was fit or Kiefer had been in the door by then, obviously both of those were before the window opened, but had we had one of those two up front, we probably wouldn't have drawn, certainly not both games, possibly not either of them. Which is a shame, but obviously all teams have injuries, don't they? So it's something that we had to deal with, and I thought we dealt with it well in January, getting Kiefer Moore in. But I think the last couple of games have just caught up with Kiefer in terms of fitness wise. So I think the break will do him some good, but also the squad some good, and maybe George Hurst can have a role to play in the final week of the season.
Oh, we shall see, Jake. That would be a massive boost, wouldn't it, for the whole team and just for us as well, having that firepower back as well.
Yeah, you know, he's huge. Like Callum, I'm a massive George Hurst fan, and I think, you know, to look at him quite sort of analytically, he's 6'3", something like that, quick, good with back to goal, can finish. And I think you look at the Premier League, like what they pay for strikers that can deliver those kind of attributes. You know, he's going to be worth a lot of money at some point. You look at people like Ollie Watkins, who's, you know, all right, better than George Hurst right now, but has a lot of those kind of attributes, and he's lingering around the England team and scored, you know, he's one of the highest scorers in the Premier League this season. I think Hurst's trajectory is huge, and having him back will be massive. And Wes Burns, yeah, I mean, look at the Bristol City game in that run, which has got Kieran McKenna manager of the month. When he comes on in that Bristol City game, it changes completely, doesn't it? Because they've been dealing with Amari Hutchinson coming towards the ball all game, and then suddenly the poor left back's chopping Burns down a couple, like two or three times in 5 minutes, isn't he? And Burns is massive. I think we saw a little bit of that from Jackson in the Watford game, just having that pace back on the right hand side, but he's just not quite Wes Burns, is he?
No, unfortunately not, with his crosses and stuff like that. But he does a shift, doesn't he? He does a shift, Caden. But yeah, we shall see if they're back for those final three games. We shall see. Now, next feature, we're going to sort of segue to a bit more retro stuff. We are now segueing, as we've got to the halfway point, to we've got the strike in a short mile. But I want to quickly mention a bit of an On This Day feature that was yesterday. And Connor Wickham made his Ipswich Town debut 15 years ago, ladies and gentlemen, which is mad, I think. But become the youngest ever Ipswich Town debutant at 16 years and 11 days old. And I just thought it'd be nice to sort of mention that, but also get Callum, Jake, and all your guys' thoughts watching. Do you think that will ever be broken? Because that is a big feat, you know, 16 years of age, 11 days old. I'm also going to ask you what you were doing when you were 16 years old. Well, but yeah, Callum, do you reckon that will ever be broken?
It's difficult to say, isn't it? I think the trajectory that football's going at the moment, you're seeing a lot more extremely young players coming through. So I wouldn't say it's impossible, but I would say it's unlikely, because 16 years and 11 days is remarkably young for a first team player. So I can't see it happening anytime soon, but, you know, for all I know, we could have a 11-year-old in the academy that's a wonder kid that in 3-4 years' time will be coming on at 15. So maybe.
And of course, he was making his debut in the Championship. So it's not like, once again, there's been a few debuts where it's just like maybe like 10 minutes here and there, or 5 minutes or whatever. Because, of course, we had a lot of debutants in the Pizza Trophy in League One. And even though, yeah, okay, they were competitive games to an extent, but they weren't like proper, like, championship fixtures because he was playing, it was against Doncaster and we lost that game 3-1. So it wasn't a memorable day in terms of a win. But it was at Portman Road in the championship. Jimmy Jiltwood, of course, gave him his debut. But yeah, Jake, do you think it could ever happen? Obviously, yeah, 16 years of age, 11 days old, which, you know, you've seen, of course, a lot of 16-year-olds obviously scored, you know, played in the Premier League, scored in the Premier League. Of course, Wayne Rooney's one of those that was very young when he made his debut as well.
Yeah, I think you have to be one of two things, don't you? You have to be extremely physically developed, which Conor Wickham obviously was, or you're the opposite and you're incredibly technically gifted. I'm trying to think of like recent ones, you know, not including Town. Like Harvey Elliott was, I think he was ridiculously young when Fulham started playing him. But yeah, 16 years and 11 days is, you're really going to have to go some to beat that, I would imagine. And have the right manager in place to want to do it.
Yeah, because once again, I think like Arsenal, they've had a few 15-year-olds, haven't they, on the bench and stuff like that. But once again, you could be on the bench. And that's great experience, I think, for any player to be, even be on the bench and not even play, not be around the first team squad. I know there's been a few young lads been training with Kieran McKenna's side, but I don't think they'll ever been close to, you know, being on the bench and making their debut. But yeah, it'd be interesting to see if that record can be broken. But yeah, Callum, what were you doing at 16 years of age, my friend?
Well, I was, this would have been 5 years ago. I was watching us get relegated to League One that year. So yeah, it wasn't a great year footballing wise. Yeah, I was like any other 16-year-old, I suppose. I was just finished my GCSEs, that sort of thing. So yeah, certainly wasn't playing for Ipswich Town, which I'd have certainly loved and still would love. But I think that's probably unlikely.
To be fair, I think Paul Lambert should have been calling up Jake if he was the 16-year-old back then, maybe. But how old were you back in the relegation season, Jake? Sorry to bring you get your age up here.
I think I was post-university. I was probably about 22, 23 in that relegation season when we were doing the podcast. At 16, was 2011. I had a BlackBerry mobile phone. That's how long ago that was, because I'm not even sure if BlackBerry still exists anymore.
I think they do, no.
Yeah, GCSEs. It's probably around the time that I kind of discovered alcohol, and I was probably out most weekends as a 16-year-old drinking in parks and at house parties and things like that, and playing a lot of football.
Yeah, pretty much same with me, and yeah, playing Call of Duty and playing, you know, just not doing stuff you do as a teenager, but not like Conor Wickham at 16 years of age, 11 days, saying that again, making his debut for Ipswich Town, which is mad. But yeah, for that, I'll bring that up, ladies and gentlemen. 15 years ago, yesterday, he made his Ipswich Town debut. Still the youngest ever. Daverton, will it be broken? We shall see. We'll do a podcast on it if that does ever happen. Yeah. But there we go. Well, it's still time to a little pause and do the strike. 5 questions plus a tiebreaker as always. Callum and Jake to go head-to-head. Who'll be crowned the strike champion this week? And yeah, we've got a mixture of questions. I think you all know these players in terms of, you know, growing up watching them. Maybe the first one, you'll know who it is, but maybe kind of maybe too young to see him play. But question one is on a town legend, Captain Fantastic, Matty Holland, obviously turned 50 yesterday. Doesn't look 50. He still looks like he played, you know, when he played, basically. And we jokingly say he's a vampire because he just doesn't age. But yeah, Matt Holland's happy 50th birthday from yesterday. But how many goals did Matty Holland score for Town in 314 games? So there's no options here. You have to just guess. And if you get it bang on, you get 2 points. Because that's what I do. So yeah, if you bang on, you get 2 points. If you get closest to the correct answer, obviously you get a point. Obviously, ladies and gentlemen, play at home. 177 people are joining us live right now. So good to see you all. Thanks for joining us for another Fan Social. If you're watching or listening another day, make sure to join us every Friday night, 7 p.m. on all platforms. Yeah, Matty Holland, what a player, what a captain. Obviously still involved with Town TV and the trustee of the foundation, which is always good as well. But what do you reckon, boys? 314 games, Matty Holland, how many goals did he score? He's got a few crackers during the day, as well. What do you reckon?
I've got an answer here. I know he scored a fair few from midfield, didn't he? But I was looking not too long ago when Connor Chaplin reached his 50. How many other players had reached 50? And I don't recall seeing him, so I don't think he quite got there. But I've got a feeling he probably wasn't a million miles off. So I've gone for 43.
43. Jake, what do you reckon?
I've gone lower. A lot lower. I've gone 22.
Wow.
I've gone significantly lower. It does just about predate me, but I can't seem to remember him scoring that many, but I might be wrong.
Yeah, you are wrong. You're very much wrong. Sorry, say Jake, you're very wrong. Callum is very close. Charlie and Andy in the chat have got 40 and 42. They're close as well. And the correct answer, sorry to say, Callum, you're not bang on, but you're very close. It's 45 goals he scored. Obviously, scored a few goals in the Premier League. Obviously, this is all competitions as well. But, I think it was sort of spread out, really, Matty Holland with his goals. I think every season he at least scored three or four. 43 goals. So Callum does get the point there, Jake. But hopefully you can pull one back on question two. And it's on another Irishman who, well, he wasn't born in Ireland, but he's, played for Ireland, just like Matty Holland. Paul Green is the man. Remember Paul Green? Loney, back in the 2013-14 season, I think that was, just before the playoff season. Or maybe, yeah. He's now retired. He's now a coach at Doncaster Rovers. That isn't the question. But he finished his career at which non-league side? Was it Guiseley, Matlock Town or Worksop Town? And a fun little fact, before this final spell, he was actually at Boston United and was the interim manager there. So a little spell as an interim manager. But yeah, he finished his career back in 2022. Obviously now retired. But Paul Green, of course, was on loan from Leeds back then. The reason why I've done a question on Paul Green is his birthday was his birthday on Wednesday. So I just thought I'd do a little question on Paul Jason Green for his full name. Played 14 games, 2 goals, scored in the final game of the season against Sheffield Wednesday. So there we go. But yeah, what do you reckon, boys? Out of these three, Guiseley, Matlock Town or Worksop Town, what do you reckon?
I'm a big fan of Worksop Town, wherever that is. I've gone Guiseley.
Guiseley?
I've also gone for Guiseley for no other reason than I know somebody at university who's a Guiseley fan. And I have absolutely no inclination either way. So that's what I've gone for.
Okay, then. Well, you're both wrong because it is Worksop Town. So there we go. And Mark Wall and Andy Crackers, Cracknell, is said Worksop as well. So they get the point. So it's still only 1-0 to Callum going into question three. And question three is another midfielder who was with Town in the 2010s. And that is Andy Drury. And the reason why I've done a question on Andy Drury is because I did an article on him on Monday. He's now going to be staying as a manager at this Kent side for the rest or for next season. He's there currently. But yeah, which non-league club is he a manager of in Kent? Is it Ashford United, Folkestone or Sitting Bourne? So yeah, I think he managed Margate as well, I think, briefly as well. So I think he's a Kent lad. So I think he's pretty much stayed in Kent. But I think he's retired. He's 40. He's 40 now. And I think he said this is his final season because he was there as a player manager at this club. But now he's the manager and he's going to be there as the permanent manager. Well, I think he's already a permanent manager anyway, but he's extended his deal for next season. But Andy Drury, what do you reckon, boys? Which manager? Which Kent side is he managing out of these three?
I'll go first this time. I do read your articles, Ross, but I'll be honest, I have no recollection of remembering what this was.
It was Monday.
I've gone down the middle and gone for Folkestone and Victor.
Okay.
I'm shooting just left of down the middle, and I've gone Ashford United. Sorry.
That's not an option, Jake. That's not an option. Because Callum is correct. It is Folkestone. That is 2-0. Andy Crack. Oh, Andy, you're on the roll, my friend. He's gone Folkestone as well. Charlie and Mark Will gone Sittingbourne. So, yeah, Callum is currently 2-0 up, going to question four. So, I'm a chance, Jake.
Lucky guess, that was.
Yeah, I like that. Question four is on a middle-of-the-road striker, I have to admit. I've only had one season in the club. Scored one goal in 23 games. And he also celebrates his birthday this week. And that is Ollie Hawkins. Ollie Hawkins, who is now, of course, at Gillingham, who could also play at centre-half. But yeah, he scored one goal in 23 games for Town. But who was it against in League One? Was it Burton Albion, Crewe or Rochdale? So yeah, Burton Albion, Crewe or Rochdale. I think it was in a win. I think we did win this game. Just going to quickly find it, the game. Obviously, that was that. Well, I think when Paul Cook came in, that was the season, obviously, when Paul Lambert finally left. And then, obviously, Paul Cook came in. One season, Ollie Hawkins. That's about at Mansfield, then Gillingham. I think we actually got some money for Ollie Hawkins when we went to Mansfield. So that's when, the ownership came in. And I think Mark Ashton was able to get a little bit of money for Ollie Hawkins. So, yeah, celebrate his birthday on Monday, Ollie Hawkins. So, yeah, just let me just quickly find this game. So I can just talk about the result. What are you thinking there, boys? What's your thinking at the moment? Who do you reckon it is?
So, needing the points, I'll go first. I've gone Rochdale, but I genuinely got no idea. Those seasons like all blend into one.
They do.
I have gone for a different answer. It would have been in the lockdown season, which I would have watched it on iFollow, but all of those games blend into one, don't they? I've gone for somewhat of an educated guess. I don't seem to remember scoring against Rochdale. I've got a feeling both were 0-0. And I know Burton, I was at Burton at home. It was that game where a small number of fans were allowed. And he definitely didn't score in that one. So if it's Burton, it would have been the away games. So putting all of that into my mind, I've gone for Crewe as the highest probability in my head, at least.
Okay. We've got a few answers in the chat. Two people have gone Burton, one's gone Crewe. Josh Kay, I think he's one of your friends, Callum, he's gone for a scored a penalty against Rochdale. He's incorrect. So sadly, yeah. Jake, you're incorrect as well. But Callum, you are correct because it was Crewe at Portman Road on Halloween. He scored the only goal in the 1-0 win in the 62nd minute. So, yeah, just have a little look at the he got replaced by Kane Jackson in the 69th. Keenan Bennett's came off the bench, which Stephen Ward played in that game, which we'll move on very quickly. But yeah, 3-0 to Callum. And question five. So Jake, sadly, not going to win. But, you know, there's a tiebreaker. You know, Callum made gamble. But we could do the final question. And I'll actually quickly go. Who got that answer right in the chat quickly? It's Charlie. Hold on, Charlie. You got it right. Well done, my friend. But yeah, question five is on Matt Clark, who obviously will be returning to Portland Road with Borough. He's actually doing pretty well with them, actually, in defence. And obviously a Suffolk boy. And I thought I'd do a question on where he was born in Suffolk. Which Suffolk village was he born? Was it Barham, Dedham or Rendlesham? Yeah. Matt Clark, I think he played like five games or something like that. Obviously was part of the Adam Webster deal. I think maybe, Jake, we'll probably do a podcast this time,
We must have been doing it. I can remember Mick McCarthy started bringing him. Did he start bringing him off the bench in the playoff season? He was in and around the squad in that season. Yeah. And then I think it must be the season after is when we got Adam Webster.
I think so. Yeah. He came off the bench. Yeah, against Millwall, and then Bournemouth. And then, yeah, he actually was on the bench he was an unused sub in the game against Norwich in the second leg, which we lost, obviously. So we'll move on. But yeah, five games in total, I think all off the bench. Actually, did he start against? He made one start when we lost against Crawley Town in the Capital One Cup back then when we lost 1-0. in extra time against Crawley Town. But yeah, great memories, great memories. But what do you reckon then, boys?
I'll go first. Yeah, I've gone for Barham.
Barham, okay.
Yeah, I've used the logic. I know he went to Claydon High School, so I'm going to go with Barham. It's quite impressive to have been born in any of those villages if they got sort of, you know, labour facilities in Barham, Devon.
Home birth, maybe, I don't know.
Yeah, maybe. But yeah, Barham.
I'm sure they just probably went to Witchery Hospital, but they probably just put on the, you know, that's where they would like grew up, maybe. Obviously, because, yeah, I think most people who are like grew up or born in Suffolk, you most likely went to Itchwich Hospital. But maybe just to add to your data, or, you know, your birth certificate, you just want to put, you know, where you're from, maybe. But yeah, it is Barham, by the way, and everyone else has gone Barham. So yeah, but nice little fun fact there from you, Jake, that you went to Claydon High School. I didn't have a clue. That's a nice little extra fun fact on Matt Clark there. Is that near Claydon in Barham? I should know my Suffolk villages more. I don't know.
It's like the next village over, basically.
Okay. So. I like that. Little knowledge now on Suffolk villages. Like that. I have to do a bit more research on my options just to, you know, to throw you off the scent, maybe. Do another closer to Claydon. Oh. Is there any other villages near Claydon?
Great Blakenham.
Oh, I was thinking about that, you know. Oh, damn it. Could have done that. Could have thrown you off the scent. But there we go. You have got a point, though, on the board, Jake. But that does mean you have lost, though, overall. So Callum has won. So well done, my friend.
Thank you. I felt like I had a slightly, maybe not unfair advantage, but I did know that one. Because as part of my sort of journalism role that I do, for the Middlesbrough game, the away game, I remember looking this up because I know he was Suffolk born, and it just stuck in my head which village it was. So I was pretty sure I knew that one.
That's fair. Well, yeah, well played, my friend. As always, though, we have got a tiebreaker. Are you going to gamble on Jake's opportunity to steal the win?
Yes, of course. There'd be no fun without a gamble. So yeah, we'll go for it.
Okay, love it. So next, tiebreaker time then, Jake. A chance, you have to get it spot on for win, and it is on Borough. How many times have Town beat Borough at Portman Road in 35 games? 35 games in total. yeah. I'm trying to think of any like memorable ones.
There's one really memorable one, isn't there? There's the J-Tab header.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, somehow, yeah. 5 foot, whatever. Scored a header against Borough.
Teddy Bishop and David McGoldrick just seem to keep the ball forever on the right-hand side, and then it gets delivered. Yeah. That's amazing header at the back post.
Oh, top man. Good old J-Tab. And now a jockey, obviously.
Grand National tomorrow.
Yes. Yeah, there you go. Little plug there. There's a few actually. There's a few, you know, a 4-0 win back in 2013. So that's two wins for you. Tommy Smith scored twice in that game. So yeah. Good old Tommy Smith. Tommy Smith scored his first goal in Australia today. It would be today. Obviously they have Australia and early this morning for us anyway. But how many times did Town beat Borough then at Portland Road in 35 games for Jake to steal?
I'm gonna go 17.
Ooh, 17. Callum, you can still play as well.
I've gone for 16. So
ooh, 16. I'm just gonna quickly find the answer. And someone's actually got bang on in the chat. And I hope you haven't Googled this, because of course you have the advantage, ladies and gentlemen, watching from home. You can have a little Google. Obviously, I've got my eyes on Jake and Callum. Although they could easily just be crafty, but I don't think they would. But the correct answer is what Mark said, is 21 games, which is not bad going. 21 wins in 35 games. So yeah, 7 draws, 7 defeats, 66 goals scored, 34 conceded. So all competitions, obviously, but yeah, not too shabby. Not bad at all.
It's a good record, that.
Very good record.
In my mind, they've always been better than us for some reason.
Yeah, but they've been a Premier League team, haven't they, for a while as well?
Yeah, I think that's high, well higher than I thought.
Yeah, Yeah, I don't know. You're close though. You went 17. So that's not too bad going. But yeah, Callum, you have one, my friend, as always, the champion of the strike. I always want a nice little speech from you. So take it away as I get the ready to look ahead to the Borough for the preview.
Yeah, well, delighted to win. Commiserations to Jake, of course. But yeah, I felt like a couple of those questions. I mean, the bar and one, I knew which, and the others were mainly lucky guesses. So, some more educated than others, but generally they were guesses. So, but pleased to win one out of one on the strike. So I've got 100% record now, which I'm pleased about.
Love that. Good debut, my friend. But good effort though from Jake. You know, take you to part, and that's what it means. Do you have fun?
Yeah, I'm glad there was no squad number questions, because that's where I excel. Squad numbers was where I was hoping you were going to throw a few in, but yeah.
Paul Green, what's Paul Green's squad number?
God, I'm gonna say 24.
24. What do you reckon, Callum?
Let's go 32.
Yeah, both wrong. It's 16. But good attempt. Good attempt.
Maybe not then.
No, maybe not. But yeah, normally I do a squad number question. Normally that's what I do. I don't know. Oh, damn it.
Normally a middle name one as well.
Middle name as well. I was going to do a Joe Garner question. That's his birthday this week. And when you mentioned Joe Garner earlier, Jake goes, oh, damn it, I should have included Joe Garner. And I was going to do his middle name.
I do actually know Joe Garner's middle name, funnily enough. So, yeah.
What is it?
I think it's Alan.
It is Alan. Right?
Yeah. There's some random knowledge somewhere in there.
I like it.
But I'd like to know what you've forgotten to remember that.
Yeah. I'd like to get back what I've forgotten to know that.
Yeah. I like it. But yeah, I'll make sure I'll have a squad number question for you next time, Jake. For the future strike when you come back on. But there we go. Well, Borough then, boys, this weekend at Portland Road. The foundation fixture, of course, for the club, which is obviously a special day for them to sort of highlight the great work they do in the community, obviously to raise more money. Obviously, last time we had a community or foundation fixture, we won 6-0 and Colin Chapman scored a hat-trick. So it was a very good day indeed. And it was actually against Cholton, wasn't it? I think it was. And it was against a team in red. So, couldn't happen again. We shall see. But how are you feeling for this one, Callum? Borough, obviously, Michael Carrick. It was a bit of a chess game, wasn't it? Back at the Riverside. Obviously, what Town won that game 2-0. Obviously, they know each other very well. Borough, you know, doing a bit better up since then. You know, they're 8 games unbeaten. They're doing pretty well away from home. Made some good signings in January as well. Will be a tough game.
Yeah, it will be. Like you say, they're on a decent run of form, 8 games unbeaten. I don't remember an awful lot from the away game, to be honest. I remember the goals, but not a lot else. But I do recall it being quite a professional away performance, which was good. And hopefully another result like last year's foundation fixture wouldn't go amiss. I suspect it probably won't be 6-0, but it would be nice. And Connor Chaplin as well is one of the trustees. It was written quite nicely for him last year with the hat trick. Just a 1-0, and Chaplin getting one goal tomorrow will do me.
No, it won't happen though, because it's, I don't know, it was a goalless draw in the week. I was about to say, well, it's been goal fest at Portland Road, but we had a goalless draw with Watford. But Jake, this will be, you know, a tough game. Of course, Borough, well, you know, they've still got a chance of getting the playoffs. So they need to win all their games pretty much to have any opportunity. So they're, as you mentioned earlier, they're a team who are going to be here wanting to get a result.
Yeah, they're such a weird team, aren't they? Because, you know, you look at them, fantastic manager. You look at the performance last season, you know, I think they'll think over the course of the season last year that they were unlucky not to be playing Premier League football this year. Got goals. Latte Laff at the moment is in the form of his life. And he obviously spent quite a bit of money on him. A couple of signings in January. Luke Ayling, I guess, is the headline. Probably wouldn't be too worried about someone like him. Hope that doesn't come back to bite me, but you know, Finn Azaz on, you know, a really good deal to get him from Villa. whilst on loan at Plymouth. Yeah, they're a good side. They're just a weird side because, like I said earlier, I thought they'd be so much higher. They were really poor at the start of the season, weren't they? And then they've sort of had a goodish middle towards this point, and they've got an outside chance. But they're just quite strange, aren't they? So really hard to know what to expect from them tomorrow.
Yeah, I think it's going to be one of those chess matches again, though, isn't it, Callum? And I want to quickly ask you, what would you do with the team? Obviously, there's four changes in midweek. They've had a day or so on the training ground. Obviously, George Emerson won't be playing because he's rolled his ankle, so he's not going to be available. So Luke Wolfen will be back in the defence. Will you, keep Harry Clark at right back? Who else would you start in that forward four, front three, and then obviously up front, obviously, it's a chance to give Ali Al-Hamadi a start. I'm going to turn my light on as well, by the way, because I'm getting darker and darker. But carry on.
Yeah, I can see the team reverting back to a similar team to what it was last weekend, to be honest. Obviously, Wolfie will be back in. Chaplin will be back in. You'd imagine Amari would move back to the right and Jackson drops out. I think they'll go with Kiefer again up front. I just can't see the trust in Al-Hamadi from the start of the minute, which I'm not sure entirely why. I'd quite like to see it, but I don't think McKenna will do that. If Moore is somewhat fit, then I think he'll start. The right back situation you mentioned, I think it could go either way, to be honest. Harry Clark's been sort of playing with, I think, an Achilles issue for quite a while now. So whether he'll be seen as good to go again after Wednesday, maybe not. Could go back to Axel there. And then elsewhere, I think the rest of the team pretty much picks itself, to be honest, outside of that.
Okay, then. That's a big talk point, though, isn't it, Jake, about Ali Al-Hamadi, because obviously, he's become a fan favourite straight away. And obviously, McKenna came out and said, he's going to have surgery in the summer because he's pretty much got a bit of an injury. But yeah, would you like to see him start, maybe? Is this a good game for him? Definitely at Portland Road as well.
So I actually think tomorrow is the one where we will see him going into this mini break. I just think the game tomorrow might lend itself more to an Ali Al-Hamadi game. I think we might be forced to counter-attack probably a bit more than normal. I suspect Middlesbrough will come and try and keep the ball when they earn it. So I think tomorrow is the day we see Al-Hamadi from the start. I think, like we said there, I expect to see Twanzebe come back in. I think Wolfenden comes back in. I think Luongo comes back in. Chaplin comes back in. I wouldn't be surprised to see a Sarmiento over Broadhead. He's probably, in terms of kind of, he's probably overdue a start. I know he's not been great from starting, but I just got this feeling tomorrow is the day we see both Al-Hamadi and Sarmiento. And I think when you look at that on paper, it looks as a very attacking lineup, but I think it's a lineup that would lend itself to counter-attacking.
And of course, at Portland Road, you don't mind that. In a way, yes, probably a lineup you don't mind, attacking lineup away from home. It's like, that's a bit risky. But we shall see what the lineup will be. Time for predictions then, boys. I've already asked in the chat. I'm going to bring those up in a second. But Callum, our town, get back to winning ways. And hopefully we'll see some goals.
I'm going to say yes. I'm going to say 2-1. 2-1 town. I get Jake's point about Al-Hamadi, and I'd like to see Al-Hamadi from the start. I've just got a feeling that they'll stick with Kiefer, and I'll go for Kiefer to get on the score sheet if that's the case. We'll go 2-1. Kiefer and Chaplin, foundation fixture, foundation trustee. We'll go for Chaplin to get in the goals again.
Oh, right, that's it. I've got a prediction here from Mark, who of course got the Middlesbrough game wins, you know, bang on. He's gone a bit of a, he's gone very rogue. He's gone for a win, which is good, but he's gone very rogue with his prediction. He's gone for a 3-2 Ipswich win after a Borough missed penalty in the 94th minute. I don't know if I could take that, boys. I don't know if I could take that. That would be definitely when, you know, they got rewarded a penalty. Obviously, it'd be great scenes, you know, if they missed it. But for us to concede a penalty and then obviously, you know, the penalty taken. Like, Mark, let us know. Is it a save? Is it a miss? You know, what happened? Who missed the penalty? You know, you've got to let us know a bit more. But, Jake, what's your prediction for this?
It's crazy. I was going to say 3-2, but probably not. I wasn't going to put in the 94th minute missed penalty. I think it's a game that reeks of goals. You know, you look, the venue it's being played at, the two teams that are playing in it. Like I said earlier, Latte Laff is in some silly form for Middlesbrough. So if he's playing, you know, you'd fancy him to get at least one tomorrow. And I just think the nature of what the day is, I think it'll be quite a fun fixture. And just hopefully we come out on the right side of that.
Yeah, hopefully indeed. Mark's gone. It was going to be a save. So Vaz to the rescue once again. But I hope that's not the case. We don't want that. I've gone also for a 3-2 win, Jake. Actually, I've gone for a 3-2 because I think it'll just be a goal fest. That's not normally the score of choice. So, yeah, goal fest on Foundation Fixture Day. But, yeah, we shall see what happens. Well, boys, we've gone over the hour mark, which is always good. It's been a great show. 200 people joining us right now. Thanks, everyone, for joining us, sharing your thoughts. But, as always, any other business? Anything else you want to mention? Anything you want to plug, Callum? Anything else you want to say?
No, I'm just looking forward to getting back to Portland Road, to be honest. Wednesday night was disappointing at the time. In hindsight, in reflection, I'm not hugely down about it. I think, you know, it's still in our hands, that sort of thing. And I think a big win tomorrow going into sort of our own mini international break that we've got after this, I think would do the boys a lot of confidence going into hopefully 2 weeks of good work on the training pitch before a busy last 7 days of the season.
Oh, love to see it. Yeah, Jake, any other business from you, my friend? Yeah, after this, we've got that 2 week break, which will feel weird, won't it? With all the teams playing, obviously it's good because, you know, players can recover and stuff. But for us as fans, we're like thinking, oh God, it's got that 2 weeks of no football. Obviously, we'll, you know, you go off to do, you know, other games and watch other stuff. But yeah, it's going to be an interesting 2 weeks.
Yeah, I think it'll be quite nice to sit back and kind of watch the fixtures. I mean, after this, I'm going to stick the Plymouth game on because they're playing one of our promotion rivals. And yeah, it'd just be quite nice to actually watch the other games. And I can never tell if it's a blessing or a curse going into those three games, sort of knowing what we need to do. In some ways, I think that's great. And then in other ways, it gives me so much anxiety of how we'll perform in those games, knowing what the results need to be. But you just got to embrace the opportunity. We haven't had this in a long, long time. So we've got to be grateful for the anxiety in some ways.
Yeah, we've not had this in our lifetimes, pretty much. Us three here, we have not really. We had the 2014-15 season and obviously the 2000s a little bit. But yeah, it's been fantastic this season. Hopefully it continues. Four cup finals to go, ladies and gentlemen. Once again, doing that cliche. And as Jake said, Plymouth, Leicester playing right now as we speak. Obviously, you'll probably listen to this, you know, after that game's done and dusters. But come on, Argyle, get a result, boys. Like to see that. Green Army and all that. Of course, it is at home park, so a tough place to go. We've been there many times. Obviously, we got a good result this year, obviously in March when Kieran McKenna won Manager of the Month. But there we go. But Callum, Jake, thanks so much for joining me. Thanks, everyone, for joining the live show as well. As always, shout out to our sponsors, Manscaped. Use the code KOA to get 20% off and free delivery for all your below the waist, nose, ears, beards, all that stuff to sort you out, give you that fresh trim, going ready for the summer. Obviously, this the weather is getting a bit warmer, isn't it? I think Portland Road, hopefully it'll be a nice day tomorrow. If you go into the game, enjoy it. If not, follow the coverage with us as always. And we'll be back for another fan social very soon. Obviously, as I said before, we're live on all platforms every Friday, 7 p.m. to join us, to get involved in the conversation. As always, well, follow us on all our socials at Kings of Anglia, on the Twitter, on the Facebook, on the YouTube, on Instagram, on the TikTok. Also, check out Jake and Callum as well if you want to hear their thoughts, you know, any other bits and bobs they do. So there we go. Thanks again, though, for joining me, Callum and Jake, and we'll be back next time for another podcast. So bye for now.